This is a UC San Diego Blinkcast.
It is such a pleasure to finally have Sherry here to talk about the holidays in 2008. Let's give her a warm welcome.
This year, let's put a sanity clause into the holidays and work on what is the important thing, which is to bring back the love and the connection into this season. Each year, it seems to me that the holidays become a more and more commercial time. I see the Christmas decorations, holiday decorations going up earlier and earlier. But also this year, we're faced with much more stress here and in our country in general, as well as in the world, because of the decreasing amount of money that people have to spend. And this becomes a very stressful, unhealthy time of year for many people. I had an acquaintance of mine tell me a story about a friend who found out didn't get has been laid off a job. And the first thing that this person said is, well, when are we going to do our gift exchange? As if nothing is different. So, and that's what people do. And people stress themselves out by going into debt and having all these rules that nobody talks about how holidays should be done. So, and then often I see a lot more people with stress, people feeling overwhelmed, and also depression. So let's talk today about how can you enjoy this season. First thing I'd like you to do is let's take a quick holiday stress test and let's see how we do. Just raise of hands, how many of you hate holiday shopping? One, okay. How about holidays cause tension in your family or extended family? Tension, okay. I'll write that one down so I remember to come back. Not the holidays, the credit card can't take it. Anybody? No? One, two, yeah, all right. I know it's not politically correct, but I dread the holiday season. Okay. During the holidays, I choose to go away from everyone. This is the time for that long trip, right? The holidays would be so much easier if I could get some help. I've noticed I tend to get sick or develop an injury during the holiday season or just afterwards. Yeah, it's a common one. I find that choosing gifts at this time is such a burden. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy the stress of making my home look festive this time of year. Not bad. To me, the holiday season means lots of cleaning. That one's popular. Okay. I don't mind socializing, but at the holidays, it's just not fun. The closer it gets to the holidays, the more tired I get. Very popular one. Right? This is a time, I think whoever invented holiday cards is just sadistic. This is a time of real financial pressure for me. During the holidays, I feel as if I'm always rushing. I worry I'm going to disappoint other people. I need to make sure that the holiday is absolutely wonderful for everyone. Okay? My partner's family, spouse's family, whoever I'm living with, families, go all out for the holiday season. They expect me to do it also. I find it hard to deal with the memories that the holidays bring up for me. Yeah. That's a common one, too. Okay. Are there any that I forgot on your list? What was the one that I forgot? Any others?
I don't know. I think you might have worded it somehow, but somehow, I find ourselves trying to not be influenced or feel guilty because we're not celebrating the same way that my kids-in-laws or my sister and her family, they tend to have a set way with the material things.
Right.
And
right.
More like trying to make it more about the food and get together.
Yes.
And
yes.
And it just doesn't seem to gel. And it, you know, so you sort of impose your own way of wanting to bring Christmas about or for the holidays into others' way of wanting their expectations. So trying to make it work for everybody,
it is culture clash. It's always, and it's culture clash even within the same family, as well as with neighbors or coworkers or all that kind of thing. So how to deal with the culture clash when you want to do it one way and the other person does it a different way. Okay. So what happens this time of the year is that people either feel anxious or they get very depressed. And very interesting how many hands came up for the tiredness and for the rushing. Yes, a question or no? Lots and lots of hands for that. And what I often see is that people, when they have more tasks to do, they cut out what would actually help them. So perhaps if they have more presents to buy or more food to cook or more cards to get out or to put the lights up, et cetera, whatever is your tradition, then they cut out maybe taking a walk in the morning or doing some relaxation or doing some breathing or getting together with friends. Those are the things that go, right? And also, so the first point, call it moving slow like a turtle. And this is the time of year to move very, very slow like a turtle to get what you need to done so that people are not tired, so that you can enjoy this time of the year, and that so that you're not stressed in your body. Did anyone ever hear that expression, being slow like a turtle? No? It's just what we do is we start moving faster to get tasks done, and instead of actually slowing down and figuring out what are the most important things that we have to do and then accomplishing those things. So that's what we want to focus on. What gives you energy? And the other part with the tiredness is that this is a time of year when we eat a lot more sweets, right? Your coworkers will bring in some candy or some breads or some cookies, and it's easy to taste, and that also increases the tiredness. There's that biological piece going on too, to pay attention to. So let's talk about, and all of this has to do with different stresses or anxieties and how to cope with that or manage it. And when people are anxious, they do overestimate what they're afraid of or their concerns or what are the worst situations, what are the worst cases in that situation. So for example, if I get together with my extended family and I don't go into major credit card debt, then they'll think I don't love them, or they'll think I don't care, or it won't be fair, right? The fair thing. And so that creates tension. And they also underestimate any kind of abilities they have to cope. And coping at this time of year is actually to become more verbal. It is actually extended, you know, like this year, the focus for me is going to be about getting together with everybody. And I really am going to limit gifts to just children. Or I'm just going to do one gift as a gift exchange, or whatever you feel like doing. Or I'm just going to do $5, $10 gifts, or whatever is comfortable for you. It's just actually saying something instead of thinking it, which is what most of us do, just actually saying something. And also, they underestimate their ability to get any kind of help from other people. So let's look at the one about cleaning, which is such a typical holiday problem, right? When people, I had a person I used to work with, and the person said that every single year they got really grumpy at the holidays. It was like a clock. And what happened is that they opened up their home for neighbors, and they, just served a little bit of cider and this and that and cookies, so not a big production. But by the end of the evening, without a doubt, my person picked a fight with the spouse. It was like clockwork, every year. And this one year, as we were talking about it, I said, why do you think you get so grumpy after this? And she goes, it's exhausting. Even if it's simple, it's still exhausting because, the neighbors want seconds and thirds of cookies or, whatever we're serving, and my husband and I are serving them, and then afterwards I clean up, and every year I'm miserable. So one of the things we discussed is, how about saying something in advance? How about just speaking in a positive way, not in a negative way? And a positive way would be to say to the kids, how about afterwards, the kids always took everybody's coats and this and that. But say to the kids, after this, I'm going to need you to clean up. I'm going to need you to get in the kitchen and start throwing away the cups and the plates, the paper plates or whatever we're doing. Or saying to the neighbors, shock of shocks, well, we'll do the first drink, but then after that, everybody does their own refills. Just to lessen the work and just spread it out so that there's less cleaning. And my person said that it was the first time that they didn't have a fight, just because it wasn't so overwhelming. It wasn't all on my client. And when people get anxious, they try to avoid. That is the hallmark of it. They don't want to talk about it with people or situations. They don't want to do any types of planning to make the situation a little bit better. And when people avoid, then it actually makes them more stressed and more anxious. And so the first step is what we did here, is to identify what is the part of it. Instead of saying, I hate the holidays, which is, I get stressed at the holidays, or the whole thing makes me want to run away till January 5th at least, is start to figure out what are the parts in it that make you uncomfortable. What are the pieces? So we're talking here, it's the cleaning, the rushing, the tiredness, the feeling, the guilt, handwriting. What are the parts that make you uncomfortable? And then cope. So instead of avoiding it and saying, oh, this year it's going to be different, it's going to be great, just nobody's going to change. Nobody's going to change. Your mother-in-law will be the same. Your sister-in-law will be the same. Your kids are the same. Your spouse is the same. What has to change is the way that you cope with things. And people always expect the other person to change, right? Well, if my spouse would just get there earlier and, hang up all the lights for me, and then everything would be great, or if the kids would like knuckle down and just help with the baking and this and that. But nobody changes unless we're very specific and talk to them in advance, and then it's a possibility, and it may not even happen. And then we practice over and over again, how do you deal with these different situations? And that's really the way to do it. Let's be specific, and let's practice one of these. Which one should I do? Tiredness, rushing, cleaning, or guilt? Pick one, and we'll do a demo. Cleaning. Okay. Tell me what's the concern or what's the fear? There's a lot. Let me hear it. a lot to do, a lot of cleaning, because
you have so many tasks.
Okay. So we're talking, can you give me more detail? Because that helps.
After making the cookies, then you gotta clean
up. Okay, so we're talking about like doing the different baking things and then having to clean up and then having people coming over, and there's a lot going on. So there's just a lot and lot of cleaning, okay? Any other comments about the cleaning? Yes.
I think one of the problems has to do with how much you put out just for the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And so you have to put a lot of other things away in cabinets and finding the space for them and deciding what you're going to keep out and what you're going to put away, and also not overdoing it. But also many of the things you do put out need to be restored. As maybe leaves need to be sprayed, or things need to be polished, silver, copper, brass. There's just a lot of extra things to do during the holidays.
So let's talk about, let's brainstorm as a group. So part of it is that there's a lot of extra tasks to do, such as baking the cookies, then cleaning them up, and then serving people and cleaning that up, and also just doing all the different displays and having that all be clean and in order, and as well as, it looks like this group is a full-time working group or a part-time working group, am I correct?
Full-time.
Okay, so that's on top of everything else. So any suggestions about how to cope with that? How would people cope?
Get help.
Who could help? Just, okay. So it'd be to get the baking and the setup and the serving, etc. So one way to cope is to get help from family members. And what kind of, how would we ask for help? It depends how old are the kids, right? How many of you have teenage kids? Nobody? Young children? Okay, spouses, partners, older kids, okay. So how do we get people to help? How do you get people to help? Beats, oh, look.
I actually raised my kids wrong, they don't help.
They don't help.
And I know it's my fault, I just didn't discipline myself to do that, so now I find myself having to discipline myself to get organized. And they'll be shortchanged too, because they are not going to be supported either. So I see now in hindsight that I just sort of did myself, and now, you know, now I find myself
doing it by yourself, right?
Asking, and they don't really take me seriously.
They don't take her seriously. Very common thing. Okay. So how do we get family members to help? I'll do a role play, okay? Let's take a teenage child or an older child, all right? Who would be the person who's asking for help? I need someone to be my assistant here. I'll do the hard part, okay. Anybody want to? No? Ask a family member for help. Let's see how it looks like. Anyone willing? Okay, good, all right. Okay.
I'm going to be baking and making cookies. I'm hoping that you could come and I was hoping that you could come and help me. Do you think you could come over and help me?
Okay. So I'll be you and you be Christina, all right? Okay, let's do it the other way. All right. Hi, Christina. This is Mom, and I need some help baking cookies. Do you think you can come over and help me? What would Christina say? Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and then what do you say next to Christina?
Okay, well, I usually say, well, they're fine. I mean, you can even have the baby teacher that would give her a little bowl of, you know, joining us, and cause I've been doing that, and the four-year-old, she knows how to crack eggs. I taught her how to crack eggs, so you could have her crack eggs, and make it a together time.
Okay, and then what does Christina say? Mom. Okay. What? We're not, you know.
She's just so like, Mom, I just don't do that.
I just don't do that. So what you can say to her is, you know, Christine, this year I need your help. I need you to come over. How about Saturday morning? The kids are usually okay about 10 o'clock. I'm assuming that age child, right? 9, 10 o'clock. Would that work for you? I need you to come over and help me. Can you come over this Saturday?
Okay, Mom,
I'll see. Okay. Now, what I'm doing so far is that Christine, I'm being very specific with her, right? I'm saying, I need you to come over this Saturday. Now, I'll call her up then, and then she's going to forget about it or get busy or something. Is that what Christine does? Or will she come over Saturday at 10?
She usually does not. You can't pin her down.
You can't pin her down. Okay. So we're going to call her up then on Thursday and say, hey, Christine, I'm just calling to remind you that we're going to do cookies at 9:30, and it's going to be really fun. I'm going to make you and I a good hot chocolate or a good coffee. We'll have some time to visit, and I'm going to play music, and I have some games for the kids. So can you come over? You want to come over 9:30 or is it 10? What would she say? Would she come?
Yes, she would.
Because we're making it fun.
Yes, I think she would.
Okay. All right. So what we're doing so far in the role play is when there's this reaction of, yeah, I'll help you later. Or you know how when you ask some people, they say, sure, I'll help, but then they don't help, right? So the first thing that we want to do is get the person, you want them to be very specific. We're going to do it on Saturday. We're going to do it 9:30. That's a good time. Or is it 10 or 9? What's a good time for you? And we're going to make it attractive. We're going to make it real attractive. Like, I took out the Christmas music or whatever is your holiday, the holiday music, and I'm going to make us something delicious. I'm making hot chocolate or I'm making coffee for us, and I have some toys that the kids can play with, and I'm really excited to show you these recipes. So that's step number two. All right? If it works, great. But that's always 50-50, isn't it? Life is always 50-50. Sometimes things work, and then 50% of the time, it doesn't work. All right. Second thing is for Mom. What would be another choice for Mom?
Doing the work gradually.
Mom could do the work gradually. That's a choice.
Buy her cookies.
What? Buy cookies this year. Call up Christine on Thursday and say, Christine, I'm really counting on you because I'm more tired this year. You know, all this stuff, all this stress that I'm reading in the papers, it's just stressing me out. My energy's not the same like it was last year. I'm just more tired. And so I want to have a great time and teach you the recipes, and that would be great. But if not, I don't think I can make cookies this year. Think we'll buy them. That's another choice. So you can, there's many choices. You can either pace it out, get Christine to help, or don't make them. Take care of yourself. And those are all valid choices. Any other choices? No, those are the three main ones. So if she'll change, but one way to get our kids to change is to let them know that we're serious. Let people know you're serious. Say, this is, be very specific with them. Tell them exactly what you want. Make it attractive and ask for their support with that. But just tell them where you're coming from too. You know, other years I've had more energy. Other years it's been great. But this year, you know, I don't think I can do everything I did last year. And that's fine, because the object of the holidays is you have to decide what's important to you. Is it to be with your family and friends? Is it to have the spiritual aspect of the holiday? Is it to do some volunteer work during the holiday? Is it the commercial aspect of the holiday? What are the important parts for you? And that's the part you need to do. Okay. So what we're talking about so far is that it's a person's choice to rush. Another choice is to, I believe in the 5% rule myself. And I do it myself too. The 5% rule is whatever you're thinking of doing, just do 5% of it. I'm not joking. For example, I teach in the spring, I teach classes for other therapists on how to treat different disorders. And I always want to bring in a lot of new stuff when I teach. But what I really do, because I practice what I teach other people, is I say, okay, this year, instead of reading two new books before I start teaching and overwhelming myself, I think I'll put in my teaching two chapters. And that's it. 5% of what I'd love to do. And the result is, first of all, my students, they don't even get that it's an extra 5%. They're overwhelmed anyway, right? Because it's all new to them. They don't know that it's not knocking myself out too. This is all new material. But I'm more relaxed, and so they get the information better anyway. Now for you, if you plan to make how many types of cookies? You know how some people do? How many types do people make? 15? 15 types of cookies. What's the possibility of the 5% rule? What would that be? Exchange cookies. Yes. Do 5% of the 15 so that it's fun, so that's pleasurable, that you enjoy making the cookies, not that you're knocking yourself out. And then by the time the holiday comes around, you just want to go back to sleep. Right? So it's, again, looking at your choices. How can you change? How can you do things different? If the people in your life will cooperate, fabulous. But if they're not going to cooperate, then how will you do it differently so that you are less stressed, you are less tired, and you're not rushing around not having fun? Because the object is for you to be happy too, not just them. Because when you're not happy, everybody picks it up. True? Let's talk about the cleaning. So how could you do the 5% rule with the cleaning? I like that rule. You could do a little bit every day, or what else? You can hire somebody. What else? You tell people in your family, we are cleaning, and you say it in a certain manner. You say, we are cleaning on Saturday morning between 10 and 12, and it's obligatory. We all have to help because we have to get the tree up. But don't make it so big. I had one of my clients was telling me a story that the first year my person was married, they loved the new tradition of Christmas because they bought those little live trees, and it took maybe, they could easily carry it in the car, plug it in. It took maybe an hour or two to decorate the thing because it was very tiny. And then as the years went on, they got bigger and bigger. And then they started buying the enormous trees. And then they had the Christmas tree fight. We can't find the right tree. And then they had someone got stressed just doing the lights for a few hours, and then a few hours to do the decorations. So, you can make different choices to make it a fun event instead of a miserable event. Because sometimes people go through really fun experiences and they don't enjoy it. And what's important is to enjoy. What about coping if there's a different way that you and your siblings or your friends celebrate the holidays? What if your siblings believe that even though you're all 40s, 30s, 50s, that everyone needs to get a gift, right? And the kids need to get lots of gifts, and that's the way it's done. How would you cope with that? How can you cope?
Suggest that you draw names this year?
You can say, this year, you can always, the technique is to always blame it on yourself. Always blame everything on yourself. Say, this year, I like the energy one. I said, my energy is different than it was last year. Isn't that true? it's always true. Say, and I, with all that's been going on with the economy and this and that, I am really comfortable buying presents for all the kids this year. I'd like to put a dollar limit on it. I would rather we don't do grown-ups, maybe just mom and dad. And I just wanted to let you know that's what I want to do. Now, what if your sibling says, I think that's very cheap? Right? True? Could happen, right? I can't believe I saw you buy that new dress on sale last week. I went shopping with you. I noticed you bought yourself a few new sweaters. But now it's time to exchange gifts with the family, or you took that big trip a few months ago. And now that it's time to share with the family, you don't have money. How would you respond to that? Woo! It's very possible. I've had people tell me stories like this, right? They say, that's all true. I did take that trip, or I am planning to take that trip, and I did buy those three sweaters on sale for 40% off, and that's all true. But that it's not only the money, it's the running around shopping and doing everything that just stresses me out. And I really want to focus on the love or the connection with our family this year. That's really what I want to do, and I don't want it to be about presents. But I'd be happy to get presents for the kids. If you choose to get presents for everybody, that's up to you. But I'm just telling you what I'm going to do.
In my family, everyone felt the same way once somebody said something. So, like, I would have caved if somebody would have told me I was cheap.
Or had reminded you that they went shopping with you and they saw you buy a new t-shirt or something. Right. So what she's saying is that in her family, once somebody spoke up, which is the first step, speaking up about your experience, then the other ones go, whew, it's the truth. That's the way they felt too. And that it was fine to get something for the children And you can define children as under 21, under 25, under 30, and I don't know what your family defines the children as, you know, and that was it. But the other part is, I have a good friend that, you know, the scenario just happened that I explained to you, that, you know, her sibling is, you know, just much more affluent and says, you know, I really think we should all do gifts. And my friend said, you know, that's nice. If you want to, that's great. But I'm not going to do it this year because it's just too much. It's too stressful. It's not fun. It's not only the money. It's the stress of running around and not knowing what to buy and having what I call what do they call those kind of gifts that you get, how nice, and you put it, you give it away?
Recycling.
The recycling gifts.
The
re-gifting gifts. Yeah. You know, like, oh, thank you so much for this candle that's perfect, you know. Soaps, I always needed them, right? Or whatever it is. It's instead of people running out and spending their money and their time to get you things that you don't want, you don't need, then they have to wrap it and all that, just saying, you know, this year I just want to focus on what's important. But you can do whatever you like, but I'm letting you know what I'm doing. Okay. So what we're talking about in terms of coping style is you making decisions this year how you want to do your holiday. What's important to you? It's the same as going out, that you want to maybe have some friends over or go to parties, but do you want to go to parties continuously or do you want to space them out? I know this year for Thanksgiving, we did 2 Thanksgivings in one day. No, we did. And I was sick for 2 days afterwards. I was totally sick. I couldn't eat until the third day, which actually was fine because but it was too much. You know, we wanted to please both people and show up. And we should have just shown up and not eaten at one of them. But, you know, the food was in front of us. What were we going to do? So just make those kind. And then we said afterwards, we go, next year, if when that happens again, and it will, that we'll, you know, just show up and have one drink with one set of people and then just go eat with the others. That we'll all talk in advance and have a plan. A game plan. That doesn't mean it's going to work, right? Because it's the same as when you're driving. You have an idea where to go, but you don't know if it's going to work. But 50% or more, it'll work. If you have an idea, this is how I'm going to do it this year. So what you want to do is see yourself coping, because you want to make choices how you handle things differently. You don't want to get into fights with the Christinas of your life, you know, because you love them. They're our kids. With you, cooking recipes, I'm doing my best. I'm gonna have games. Make the other people in people only if only they'd help me do this and that, then it would be great. Well, I said, well, they want to do that, then you're the one who needs to think of different choices so that you stay balanced, so that you stay happy, that you stay in the part, which is really what it's about. Now, my daughter's coming in this Sunday, and she'll be gone for the holiday. We'll be celebrating with other family members. And, you know, in my mind, I wanted to cook a lot of things that I know she loves. And then I start thinking, if I do that, that's nice, but I'm going to be a wreck. So cutting it down, just always having your ideas and then cutting them down and seeing what you really think you can do instead of what you imagine you can do. I think that it would be helpful for the people involved to start thinking about which of these items they know they had on their list and how do they going to cope with it. So if they're going to be tired, if the fear is of being tired, then how does one cope? And maybe the way one would cope is just to slow down, to continue with exercise, to continue to see a friend, to do things that give us energy. So it's just instead of thinking, don't be caught unprepared because it's the same stuff, different year, right? It's about you doing it differently. And then to think about what would you do if this happens? How are you going to cope? Any questions about what I'm saying before I go on? No? Okay. The other thing people do with the holidays is they get stuck in memories. Memories of other years when they were doing the holidays with their parents or another spouse or the kids were little or that kind of thing. They get into a lot of memories about how things used to be and they're not that way now. And a lot of people start ruminating or they get into memories of holidays that were absolutely miserable when they were children or when they were adults. So people start thinking either they're in the future, right? Thinking about what's going to be and how are they going to cope, or they're in the past. And a lot of people ruminate very persistently and very frequently. They think, why did this happen to me? Why were my holidays so miserable when I was a child? Or why did my first spouse leave me? Holidays were so great then, and now I'm not as happy, and why isn't this one coming this year, and that kind of thing. So it's a lot of why questions. Why am I so depressed this time of year, and I can't control this? Those are the kind of ruminating thoughts that people have. But what ruminating actually does is it helps us avoid things. It just helps people avoid situations. It's people think that if they think about something, then they're doing something about it. So if I think about it, I'm being active. But in reality, it's a way of avoiding the problem. That's how it is with most people. Most people, they're on a loop. You know, why was it so bad the last year? My in-laws are coming this year, and they're going to make fun of the way I keep the house. They'll make comments about how children are doing, which is not good, and why do I have to suffer with this, or whatever is their story. So the way to handle this is to change the question. You want to keep on changing the question. And we're also trained in our culture to be analytical, right? Yes? So what would be the question? The typical question, which is the analytical question, which increases the depression, is the why did this happen? Why don't the children help me every year? Why am I so in debt? Why didn't I make different choices? You know, people get into this why stuff. But you want to change the question to how. You want to change it to a how question, from why to how. Now, what does that mean? What that means, instead of saying, why don't the kids ever help me? That's the question. How question would be, how can I get some help? What can I do differently? and I gave you some techniques here today. It said, be specific, be positive, make it fun, which is good. If it doesn't work, then you do something different. Don't make it so hard. Don't make the 15 cookies, make 3 or 5 or whatever is fun for you. When it stops being fun, then stop doing it. Right? Not what's in the mind, what's in the body. So you want to change it to how. Or if the thing is, why are my in-laws so rude to me each year at the holidays? They come over and then they say how poorly behaved my children are, and you know, why do I have to put up and be polite? Then the question is, or I had someone who said that for them it was horrible because they had, this person had young children. They would go to the in-laws' house for Christmas and be absolutely miserable because the in-laws were very fastidious people. The environment was perfect. My client's children could not play, and it was just, you know, don't touch this, don't touch that. It was miserable. So what I discussed is to talk about it with the spouse is, how can we do the holidays different? Can you speak up to your parents and have them in advance set up a room where my kids can play, right? Or maybe we shouldn't go there this year, until you're willing to say something. You know, how can we do it different? Because I'm tired of being so tight and being uncomfortable, to have it more pleasurable for me. So you want to change that how question to you want to have a how question. And if you find yourself thinking the same thoughts over and over again about the holidays, you know, which is, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done. I don't know how I'm going to get the meal done. I don't know if the turkey is going to come out good, or I don't know how I'm going to do it. Then you want to stop and think, how could I make it better this year? How can I do something even a little bit different? Because if you do something a little bit different, then things start changing. And if you do it exactly the same, then nothing changes. So that's what we want to do. And also practice compassionate self-talk, such as, oh, I'm just a failure, I can't get all this done, and everybody else is doing it, to talk kindly to yourself. How can I get this done? How can I, I'm doing my best, I'm doing a good job, you know, I'm working full time. It's enough. You know, just to talk kindly to yourself. So what I'm talking about today, I'm talking about a few different ideas. And the ideas I'm talking about is when you're in the future, which is where people go. They go into the future. How am I going to handle this? How am I going to buy everything? How am I going to do? Then to practice, how am I going to cope with it differently this year? And again, if you have 15 plans of doing it differently this year, just do 1 or 2. Don't do everything. Just do it a little bit differently. And then we're also talking about the generality of people ruminating about past holidays. Just going into the past and thinking about the past and catching that and working with how questions, like how can I handle this situation that doesn't make me happy differently? Because what we really want to practice is being in the present, right? We want to practice being present and enjoying. How do we get ourselves to be present? Right? And it could be something simple, such as just noticing how your body feels and paying attention to that and maybe slowing down. It could be something simple as notice your breathing and breathing through your belly instead of through your throat, which makes everybody it increases anxiety at least 50%. So just doing some breathing through the belly. It could be practicing being, there are different techniques to get you into the present instead of the future or the past, which will create misery, right? Another thing you can do to get yourself in the present is just, it's a very simple thing to do to just bring yourself here, is to just, we can do it together, I'll tell you what it is to close your eyes and listen to three sounds in this environment. It makes people concentrate. We'll see if it helps with you. So let's try that as a group. Just closing your eyes and catching three different sounds. And then taking in a very deep breath through the belly and letting that out. And another deep breath through the belly and letting that out. And another deep breath through the belly and letting that out. And just to notice the pleasure of feeling present. Just the pleasure of just being in your day and not being anywhere else. And then whenever you're ready, you can give yourself any message you want to. And then open your eyes, coming back into this room. How was that? Simple. How long did that take me? 1 minute. So you can always practice that when you find yourself getting very stressed, to just allow yourself to hear different noises, taking in a few breaths, just to come present. If that works, great. If not, you do something else. Taking a walk, that kind of thing. Okay, so we're talking about a radical idea this holiday. And the radical idea that we're talking about is bringing back pleasure, making yourself happy, bringing back connection, that change is possible by paying attention to how you're feeling, what you're thinking. Okay. Any questions about anything I've said today? Because I've completed the formal part of what I need to cover. Yes?
Well, I think it might be more, no, we can talk about it. But I have relatives who do this rumination thing.
The rumination
and
thing.
Mm-hmm. Not to keep thinking about negative things. So when holidays is the time when you're around, you know, you have people around you, and is there a way to not get caught up in that? Or, I mean, there's, you, like you say, you can't change other people.
You can't change other people. Right, because they're sitting at your table, right.
So how do you stop from letting them ruin your time?
That's a very good question. The question is, you're at the table, you have different relatives who are into ruminating, and they're bringing up all the things that are negative. And the question is, how do you get them from spoiling your time? There are different choices that you can do. One is, you can see if you can sit somewhere differently, right? In a different place. Or you can just perhaps change the conversation, talk about something that you're grateful for, something that's good this year. Or you can ask, you say, well, we have many holiday dinners, we don't talk politics or that kind of thing, you know, just to bring up a guideline. for the conversation, or you can get up and do something different. Or you can also make the choice to see yourself, visualize yourself as a mountain. Just see yourself as a mountain that the different people, they're like the wind blowing, and that it doesn't shake you. So those are some possibilities what to do. Okay, any other questions? Just to let you know, starting in the spring, I'm going to be putting together a group on using mindfulness in cognitive therapy, which is very interesting, new research coming out in cognitive therapy about how to become more present and how to bring back mindfulness into every day. So I will be starting a group, as well as working with people in mental health care. I'll be working with the public in that group too. So if anyone's interested, they can contact me about that.
Could you define mindfulness for everyone?
Mindfulness is, today we talked about how people are in the future, right? You know, what if the economy keeps on getting worse? What am I going to do? You know, I've lost 20, 30, 40%, or what if we lose our jobs, blah, blah, blah. And then they get very upset. Or they're in the past doing rumination. That's another very favorite thing people do. So mindfulness is practicing different techniques and exercises to stay in today. That would be different, a lot of different techniques to learn how to be present in today, which actually makes us all a lot more effective in our daily lives. Any other questions? And there's a lot of research in cognitive therapy. It's a whole movement going on, one on rumination, the other one on mindfulness, just new information coming out. Okay, so thank you very much.
This has been a UC San Diego Blinkcast. For more, visit us online at blinkcast.ucsd.edu.